Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all God's benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, God's act to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our sermon text this morning comes to us from Luke's gospel. I'll be reading from the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 17. Listen now for God's word to and for us. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand upright. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And when he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue was indignant, because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath. And he kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But Jesus answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said all of this, his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all of the wonderful things being done by Jesus. For the word in scripture, for the word in creation, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My husband Kevin and I have a standing disagreement. And I'm sad to say it happens every Sunday morning, or just about every Sunday morning. Because I have to be at church earlier than he does, I'm the first one to get up. And so I get up, and the first thing I do is head for the coffee pot, and I get my cup of coffee. And then I go in and I take my shower. And when I'm done with my shower, about by that time, Kevin's already gotten up. And if he's out of the bedroom and getting his coffee, then I noticed that there is also the radio playing, and it's always his favorite station. And at that time in the morning, it's always playing songs by the Beatles. Well, when I hear that, I just go on a Sunday morning, and if he's out of the bedroom, and I click off on his radio. Well, then he comes back in, and I'm getting dressed, and he walks over and he puts it on. And then I walk out and do something else, and he walks out, and if there's an opportune time, I will click it off again. And this whole rigmarole repeats itself over and over again, more times than I would like to admit, and it's just something that we do because, you know, I like the Beatles as well as anybody, but I just don't feel that playing the Beatles first thing on Sunday morning is very worshipful or more to the point, it doesn't help me to get in the state of mind of being able to worship and get ready to preach. Now for Kevin, listening to the Beatles relaxes him and puts him in a very good state of mind. So for him, he probably is more in touch with being in God and open to being in communion with other people as well. In today's reading from Luke's gospel, we read about a standing disagreement between Jesus and the Jewish religious authorities. Now, did you notice how it started off? We learned first thing that the day starts off ordinarily enough. Jesus is in the synagogue and he is there and he is preaching. Nothing unusual about that. But then we're also told about that there are, of course, the synagogue authorities in there. Do you recognize the setup? Well, if you had been reading along in Luke's gospel from the very beginning, which we don't really do, we read kind of piecemeal usually, but we remember that in the fourth chapter, Jesus stands up in the Nazareth synagogue and he preaches his very first sermon. And by the time he's at the end of it, do you remember what happens to him? They are ready to hurl him off the cliff. And then if we move to chapter 6, they're upset with him again because Jesus allowed his disciples to pick and eat grain on the Sabbath. But he really didn't get into real hot water until he healed the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath. And it was then that they decided that they were going to get rid of Jesus, and they started hatching their plan. So we're told that the synagogue leader was indignant when Jesus healed that woman that day. You know, at this point, all of the juices of opposition to Jesus and his orthodox ways had simmered to a boil. We're told that this woman had been bent over for 18 years. Do you wonder where she came from? It's remarkable, isn't it, that Jesus even saw her, because we're told that there was a crowd that day and she was hunched over. So, but Jesus picked her out of the crowd. He saw that woman. And, you know, she would have been invisible for another reason too. Usually women had no social standing, especially in the synagogue, but Jesus saw her. She probably hoped that no one would see her at all, that she would go unnoticed and under the radar because, you know, she, because of her ailment, wanted to escape people who would look at her and stare and point and whisper and say nasty things. They could only wonder why she was being punished by God by being bent over that way, because ailments or sickness of any kind at that point were meant to be punishments by God for some kind of sin in a person's life. It was all better all the way around from her perspective, I'm sure, if he hadn't noticed her, if she would have stayed in the background. But this cursed woman in Luke's gospel is not an object of scorn for Jesus. She wasn't invisible. She wasn't insignificant to him. He called her forward as if to say, come out of the shadows and into the fullness of life. And not only that, but he called her a daughter of Abraham, which was very significant. So she went from outcast to being a full member of the Jewish community when he did that. Her status went from pariah to full participant. She was an outcast until that day when Jesus drew the circle wide and included her in God's amazing grace. The synagogue leader objected to the healing because it was done on the Sabbath and because healing was work. And according to the fourth commandment, work was not to be done on the Sabbath. Like the synagogue leader, we too work and we strive to love God and to observe the Sabbath the best way that we can. But we may have our different ideas about how to accomplish that. Different cities in this country have laws on the books that offer their own ideas. In Blackwater, Kentucky, If you are in church and you tickle a woman with a feather under her chin, you will end up spending a day in jail. If you live in Honey Creek, Iowa, unless you're a policeman, just remember to leave your slingshot at home because you can't bring them into a church. And the next time you visit Slaughter, Louisiana, just remember that turtle races are not permitted within 100 yards of the church. These are kind of odd and funny that they're still on the books, but some of our own definitions for keeping the Sabbath holy get even stranger. Some think that keeping the Sabbath holy involves keeping worship to 1 hour and not going over a minute. Some think it has to do with how long we do or do not pass the peace and how much hugging is involved in that activity. I've been in churches, I'm speaking from experience where this is true. Some believe that keeping the Sabbath holy can be settled through arguments over gender or sexual orientation ordination issues. While some believe that there's a certain dress code that is most pleasing to the Lord. Why did Jesus choose to heal that crippled woman on that day? They knew that they were plotting against him. What would have been the difference? She had been like that for 18 long years. Why did he choose to stir the pot that day? What difference would it make if he waited one more day? After all, it wasn't a life-threatening situation. Didn't Jesus know that timing is everything? Yes, indeed. Of course he did. It's no mistake that he chose to heal this woman, to do this work on the Sabbath. Not only did he want to give her complete wholeness, for that bent over woman, but he also wanted wholeness for that synagogue leader who was enslaved by false religious piety and obligation. Just like Jesus wants healing and wholeness for everyone, every one of us and everyone in that crowd that day. In his words and actions, Jesus taught by example that the highest form of worship, the very highest, the best way to keep the Sabbath holy is to reach out in compassion and work for the healing of others. Worship, it would seem, demands some action on our part. Could yesterday's pancake breakfast to benefit Skycrest Elementary, could that have been a form of worship? You bet. Could taking a stand on creation care by having 391 solar panels installed on the roof of the church be a form of worship? Absolutely. Could sending in a donation or bringing in food for the manna box for those who are hungry be a form of worship? Yes. Could creating beautiful flower arrangements week after week for the sanctuary, could that be a form of worship? Yes, I think so. You know, it's interesting that this crippled woman, she didn't ask for any healing. She came there to worship. She didn't seek Jesus out looking for a miracle. Even so, in the midst of that confusion and of the crowds, Jesus saw that woman in her brokenness, just as Jesus sees us in our brokenness today. We may not be hunched over from scoliosis or osteoporosis. We may not have her kind of physical ailment. We may have another kind of physical ailment, or we may be broken in ways that you just can't see on the outside. We may be suffering from addiction or anxiety or debt or greed or fear, or just keep adding to the list. Anything that separates us from God or from each other causes us to be broken. Living a life bent over is not what God intends or wants for any of us. It wasn't Jesus' desire for the woman from today's reading. It wasn't Jesus' desire for the synagogue leader, and it isn't his desire for our lives either. By healing that woman so long ago, Jesus shows us that having compassion for another person trumps all other ways we might think of keeping God's day holy. If you really want to worship, the Lord seems to be saying, open your eyes and look around, see who needs help, and then do something. Worship of this kind can take place any day of the week, but what better time than on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day? Will I concede and let Kevin play the Beatles on Sunday morning? I doubt it. Will Kevin ever stop playing their songs? It's not likely. But hopefully we will find a way to keep our disagreements from distracting us from what is the main thing, by showing compassion to one another and everyone else that God places in our sights for all of us. May that be so for each and every one of us here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. After listening to the postlude, and as you leave worship today, remember that Christ has no body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the hands through which Christ touches the world. Yours are the feet through which Christ travels to do good. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks with compassion onto the world. Christ has no body on earth, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. So go and be Christ's body. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.